listening to Chasing Prophecy Radio, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. On UPRN Talk Radio, FM 107.7 in New Orleans and FM 105.3 in Mississippi.
If it's unexplainable, we're talking about it.
Whether you're a believer or a skeptic, we cover everything where the unknown becomes the known. And now, here are your hosts, Jenny Nicasio and Tom Callaway.
Welcome to Chasing Prophecy on FM 107.7 in New Orleans and 105.3 in Henderson Point, Mississippi, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. I'm Jenny Nicasio, along with my co-host, Tom Callaway. I just want to let you know, Tom, it's going to be a good show tonight.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so excited because we have not one, but two guests, and they're a couple. So I think that's fantastic. You got to do what you love, and they found something they love to do together. So
yeah,
I think that's very sweet.
And Tom, UFOs, millions have seen them, hundreds of books describe them. But here, for the first time, their book is going to delve into the hardest questions concerning them. Who's flying them?
Yeah. I mean, we often take these as just a subject, right? It's a UFO, but we forget that somebody or something has to be flying these aircraft. Something has to be engaging these things to move. It's not, you know, they're not drones or things like that. So, you know, there's very little cases of UFOs and reports of UFOs, and there's even less of actual entities. So I got my questions ready for this couple.
There's so many questions, like why are they here? How often are they coming? Why are they preying on us and our livestock? You know, it's scary.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the livestock thing's a whole, I mean, we've all grown up. That was sort of one of our first intros, right? Into, as you're getting older and stuff, like the cow mutilations and things like that. You know what I mean? The weird stuff. And as you get older, you hear about those things, but I think it becomes more and more real that you're like, okay, you know, no animal could have, you know, cut open this animal. You know what I mean? With laser-like, you know, technology and things like that. So they're definitely, you know, and I think more, if I had to guess, right, I think it's just because, you know, they don't know what's on this planet. So they see us, they see animals, they're, you know, they're equal opportunity abductors, I guess.
Yeah. It's there's so many different stories. We don't know who to believe. And there's like, you know, a lot of people think that the government's involved. Are these the governments using reverse engineering? All that kind of stuff. We don't know who's to believe, too.
Yeah. Is it a smoke and mirrors type thing? Because you would think the government knows what a cow is, right? You know what I mean? So are they doing this on pretend? Are they doing this to, you know, get people, you know, keep people out there believing in UFOs when there really isn't any? There's so many ways you can take this discussion and run with it, right? There's so many different ones. What we can do is talk about, is this real or is it not real? And I guess the best part the government has done is we can make an argument for either side, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, you hear, you know, I'm an X-Files. I still watch all the old episodes and have a marathon. Hey, Mark, how are you doing? So glad to see you.
Absolutely. Happy spring to you, Mark.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It never gets old. And while we wait for our guests, I'm not sure if I think they hit the wrong link. I think because I gave them two links. So I think they may have went into our chat. I sent them another link.
Oh, good. So we'll just wait for them to hop on.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, please stay tuned, people. Once you know what we know about what they, you know, a little bit about them, you'll be enthralled. This is a very, very great show, jam-packed, lots of questions. So please get those fingers ready. You know, comment your questions. You know, this show is your show. This show is your show. And I want you to, you know, everybody to ask questions because we're not going to shy away. You know, if we're talking about something, and you want to ask another question? Go ahead. Who are we? We're just the wranglers. You know what I mean, Jenny? That's all we are.
Yeah. We're the wranglers, all right. I mean, I've been like preoccupied with there's so much news out there, so many conspiracies. And I gotta admit, I'm a conspiracy freak. You know, I fall for them.
Me too.
I'm listening to, because I got a couple TikTok videos. We're going to talk about the solar eclipse that's happening April 8th. There's a lot of conspiracies out there. You know, is it the end of the world? What's going on? So many religious stories going in tune with it. Hey, Leslie, you can see and hear. You have to come into the studio, hit the link that I sent you, follow the instructions. They can hear us, but they can't see it.
I believe they clicked on the wrong link.
You clicked on the wrong link. I sent you another link to your email. That's the one for StreamYards. I sent you two links.
Yeah.
I sent you one for the audience and I sent you one. So you have to hit the one that says StreamYards, and I just sent it to you. So you have to, a lot of people have issues with that. Well, that's just new technology. I mean, I was on Skype before. Years ago we did the show strictly from Skype, and that was crazy, but so we're gonna talk about the eclipse, and I also want to touch base on what's going on with Kate Middleton. I see all these conspiracies theorists saying that they're using her double, that something horrible happened to her. You know, people talked about that she was poisoned by Princess Anne. I don't know, I fall for that stuff, you know.
Well, you know me. I'm a where there's smoke, there's fire. And there's never going to be a straight answer out of them. So we have to do our own digging. And is it as dramatic as that? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe. But something is up there.
Definitely something's happening.
And, you know, I can use my best guess, because when people... I can save it for later, but you know, I have a couple ideas on my end.
Yeah.
And again, my idea is not what I know, but I do know mental health, and that's what I should say.
Mental health. Yes. Well, you can go ahead. I see they're in the green room, so you can go ahead and give them a, intro for them. So
absolutely.
Bring them on in.
All right, everyone. Wonderful show again. Yes, we're going to have the wonderful Leslie and David Shaw on here, and a little bit about them. They are a couple, right? They are married, and they're a remarkable couple who have delved into the mysteries of our world, and particularly the realm of ufology and ancient history. Their collaborative work has led to thought-provoking insights, eye-opening revelations, and also a book, Who They Are and What Are They Up To, which is a description of their, lifelong love affair with UFOs and aliens. And they've asked a ton of questions in that book. I am so happy to have you on. I have actually read excerpts of your book before, so it's a pleasure to have and be able to talk to you both now. And, first off, can we call you the Betty and Barney, Hill of UFOs? Can we do that?
That wouldn't be accurate.
No, I've never been abducted that I know of.
Okay.
But it's more, it happened to Stephen's family more.
Oh, I misspoke. I'm sorry. I said Betty Barney Hill. I meant Ed and Lorraine Warren. You know, you guys do for ufology what they did for paranormal. That's what I meant. My mistake.
There you go. That's more us.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you again.
Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure. We love having, this is so special for us, having a couple. And, we have a jam-packed questions that we want to ask and let you talk about. And, I don't know if you've seen the show before, but people will chime in with Facebook questions and things like that to answer. So
I'd be happy to talk to them. By the way, the book is, the title is Who They Are and What They're Up To.
Okay. What They're Up To. Thank you so much.
Yes.
So... I guess give us a little backstory on what got you each into ufology and your passion for this, and then we can get into some questions.
Well, Stephen and his family from very young, he was having bizarre experiences, and we believe it was the alien abduction experience. They were preying on his family. And when I met him, I learned all about these bizarre phenomenon from him. But nothing had ever happened to me, you know, and I kept waiting for the day when I would see my first thing. And then sure enough, there it was. In 2005, we were driving from Joshua Tree to Yucca, and I looked up through the windshield, I saw this bright white light up in the sky. And it wasn't behaving like a plane because it didn't have little flashy lights, little running lights. And it just hovered there, and it got brighter and brighter. And as we approached it, we kept our eye on it and thinking, what the heck is this? And then suddenly it shot to the north in a streaked way in a long line. And then the back of the line collapsed after it, and it was gone over the northern horizon in probably a quarter of a second. Had to have been moving at, as a guess, I would say 20,000 miles an hour.
Oh, wow.
And it went at full speed from get-go. From the moment it moved, it was going at that full speed. It didn't have to ramp up to that speed or anything. Any human pilot would have been mushed against the wall, without some sort of inertial dampening field like we believe they have. And once that happened, once I saw my first one, and then we saw another one in 2020, but after I saw my first one, then I believed Stephen 100%. Before that, I could only believe him like 95%, maybe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then we started doing our real research. About 2005 is when we, Stephen's been researching this phenomenon his whole life because of what was happening to his family. But that's when our research together started. And we actually, and I'm the writer in the family, so I had to do most of the writing. And but Stephen has a much more science background than I do, so I really needed him for as a fellow theorist and researcher. And he did some of the writing too. Yes.
Wonderful.
His own family history was something he wrote in there.
So your skills really complemented each other. That's great to hear.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. My skills are in medicine and geology, and I was a Tai Chi teacher for 23 years, and I had 6 years in the military from 80 to 86, and been a cabinet maker and been a lifelong musician. So I've worn a lot of hats so far in my life, and about the age of 30, I decided I really wanted to start to get to the bottom of what was going on. I'm 63 now, but at about the age of 30, things just weren't adding up to me. So I started, going into my own research. Is this paranormal or is this UFO? Because I was raised in a family that came from wartime England in the 1930s and 40s. My parents grew up in one of the most bombed places on the earth in Manchester, England. And so they grew up as kids, so very no-nonsense people. So I grew up there, and I was taught from day one that we had this family spirit guide called O'Glakely that had been monitoring the family and showing up to different family members over about three generations. So I just accepted this as something that we had, this family spirit guide. And when I was 3 years old, I used to be visited in my bed by this entity that would jump on my stomach and my chest and wake me up in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And, you think, oh, it's a cat or something like that. But no, it was invisible. And I just accepted it because it wasn't malevolent or it wasn't scary. It just was there, just playing with me. And when I was about 10 years old, I was sleeping in the top of a bunk bed. My brother, who was 6 years younger than me, was on the bottom. So I was awakened by this noise that I didn't recognize. I could tell it was not the dog. And so I got out of my bunk bed and I was walking down the hallway, and my heart was pounding. And my breath was elevated, and I was definitely in adrenal mode. I didn't know what I was going to see, but I knew it was something that I wasn't expecting. And just before I got to the end of the hallway, everything just goes blank. I go black. And then I wake up several hours later back in my bunk bed, all nicely tucked in, and with no recollection of what happened in between.
We've tried to get hypnotherapy for Stephen to break through these big black spaces, these missing time incidents. And we have yet to be able to do so. It's the block is set rather well in his case. Yeah. And it takes time to, you know, get to know a therapist. And we live kind of remotely, so it's hard to get that kind of service out here.
Yeah, I've been hypnotized only one time successfully in my life, and that was on my 19th birthday. Yeah. But it really is a trust up relationship. And a lot of hypnotherapists, they don't even want to even touch the idea.
The idea of alien regression, alien abduction regressions. Yeah.
So my brother, when he hit about the age of about six, from about the age of six to eight, he started sleeping in our closet in our room. And I asked him, so, you know, Phil, why are you sleeping in the closet? Well, he said, I'm afraid of the little men that come in the middle of the night. And I did halfway believe him because I had a vague recollection of seeing these little men when I was about his age that would come into the room. And so I understood. But yeah. Again, when you're in junior high school or middle school and things like that, elementary school, you don't tell people about these kind of things. They either think you're lying or that you're living in a haunted house or you're half nuts. So this was a thing that we talked about a little bit in our family, and we accepted it. And then for decades, I accepted it like this was a paranormal thing. It was had to do with this family spirit guide.
But we think this family spirit guide may be a gray alien. Because one time, Philip Stevens' younger brother, these incidents frequently come in clusters. He had a cluster of three incidents in one week when he was 16. He saw a bright white light outside his bedroom window. It woke him, and he looked out as he's staring at the light, wondering what it could be. He blacks out. Then the next day, he heard a scrabbling sound. He was laying in bed, and he heard it on the floor. He thought it was a cat, so he reached down to pet the cat, and instead a hand grabbed his arm, and he blacked out immediately. And then the next night, he saw in his doorway of his bedroom, he saw a tall gray alien, about 6 foot tall, and he stared at it for a moment and then again blacked out. So this was the first time that a family member saw what I think is the source of all the phenomena, is these the gray aliens. And we think that they were preying on the family for three generations. But not just preying, they also protect.
Yes.
One thing we discovered with our research was that the abduction phenomenon is almost entirely a Caucasian phenomenon. About 95% of abductees are Caucasian. And it seems like they're specifically after Caucasian DNA. And this was surprising to us because I thought that, you know, what everyone thought was that the aliens are just curious about us.
They want to take
a cross sample of everybody to get an idea. But that's not what's going on. It's not like scientific research they're doing. It's more like they're harvesting a product.
Betty and Barney Hill, wasn't one of them black?
Yes. Barney was. But we have since discovered that Betty's sister and her sister's daughter, Betty's niece, were also abduction victims. So we believe in that case that Betty was the primary target. And then there is a 5% smattering of other races that they take. Maybe that really is their scientific research, but we think that the taking of Caucasians is that they're harvesting a product. I make the analogy in our book that it's like a cow. The farmer has a cow and he puts it out in the field and it makes milk while it's eating the grass, right? Then he abducts the cow from the field and takes it into his barn and removes the milk. And then he puts it back out in the field to make more milk. And he does this every day. And that's what happens. It's not every day, but the people who get abducted, they get abducted many times through their lives. So they keep taking them again and again and again. And then they start taking their children and their grandchildren. It's like they find a strain of DNA, of genetic material that they really like, that meets their criteria, and then they'll put tracking devices in these people, and they will follow them for their whole lives. Yes.
Stephen, do you think you have one? Do you have evidence?
I had one removed from the doctor.
The doctor actually removed it.
Yeah.
Well, did you keep it?
We found out about it by accident when I almost lost my right arm on the 29 Palms military base back in 2013, September 25th, 2013. It was a near thing. It was the most painful experience by far in my life. 2.5 hours of absolute agony. I tore all my rotator cuffs on the right side and broke my right arm and dislocated it.
And broke the scapula in 7 places.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyways, it was brutal. Okay. Yeah. It was brutal. But anyway, so they took x-rays at the High Desert Regional Hospital, and the x-rays came back in the middle part of my deltoid on my right side. There was this piece of what looked like bone, but
it looked like a grain of rice.
It looked like a grain of rice.
But metal, okay. because it showed up white on the x-ray. Okay. You know?
And the x-ray technician said, well, he didn't know what it was. He said, well, it could be an old injury. Well, it was nowhere near where the injury was. So anyways, I do have copies, at least in a DVD format.
But then when I went in for surgery, the doctor must have removed it because it doesn't show up on any subsequent x-rays. So
well, what did the doctor say?
But the original x-rays, we just have to get them blown up enough to be able to verify it. At that time in 2013, we weren't actually like seriously thinking about writing the book. It was one of these things. I was being a musician for my whole life, what I was mostly thinking about at that point was that, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to play music again in my life. I mean, the injury was so bad that what I was thinking about was, number one, that I'm out of a job, and number two, how am I going to pay for my house bills, and number three, can I use my right arm again?
Well, yes, so the short answer is that we don't have it. He didn't think about it, you know, when he went in for 6 hours of surgery, which didn't even occur to us. I have to ask the doctor to save it for us.
I have DVD copies. I do not have the original. Right. I have DVD. I just have to find somebody who can blow it up.
Regardless of whether we can find our evidence or not, it's a documented phenomenon that's happened to many, many, many people.
Absolutely.
A lot of these things are removed. They take them out and they are emitting, before they're removed, they're emitting a radio signal.
Yeah.
And then after they're pulled out, the signal changes. So it's almost like letting them know that your device has been removed. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally understand that. So I wanted to ask, and this is probably the meat of what I wanted to ask. I am fascinated about the idea of us as humans being sort of bioengineered in the past. Could that be, in your opinion, why certain bloodlines, certain DNA is being abducted over generations? Because this is a long lineage from back in the day. And I'll go ahead and say the name, the Anunnaki, right? You know, there's a certain belief that they came from the stars. They helped populate this planet with the primate that was on here mixed with their DNA. What are your feelings about the bioengineering of the human race?
We've read almost all of Sitchin's work, and we find a lot of credible information in his texts. In fact, very credible. The Anunnaki supposedly came to our planet 450,000 years ago to mine gold. And they are from our solar system, actually. This planet Nibiru is supposed to swing way out past this brown dwarf in the direction of Orion.
Yes, yeah, elliptical, and it's like 50 billion miles away.
They're 50 billion miles away.
It's like 3,600 years or so before it comes back.
It's supposed to orbit in a 3,600-year orbit. And we don't know for a fact that this is true or not, but the Sumerians certainly claim it as true.
They do.
And there does seem to be some evidence in that it looks like about 300,000 years ago, the human race was uplifted. It looks like there's tampering to our genome in the speech centers areas.
Yeah, Carl Sagan called it Broca's brain in one of his early 1970s books.
Absolutely.
It's tampering to the neocortex, which is specifically to the Homo sapiens, which is what we are, one out in evolution.
Sapiens.
Yes.
And we think it's quite possible that the Homo erectus, Homo erectus was more like an animal, really. Mm-hmm. It didn't make much in the way of tools, and it in order to drink water, it would lap it up like an animal does, you know. And the difference between Homo erectus and Homo sapien is enormous, and it happened in a very short period of time. So it doesn't make sense that it's an evolutionary path that happened. It's more like we've been tampered with, and we do believe that has happened.
Yeah, Jason Martell, we went to one of his seminars. Martell said that he showed some pretty interesting graphics about recent studies done where they have shown the neocortex of current man. It looks like about 300,000 years ago, there was literally like a CRISPR-like cut and paste that was done around the Broca's brain area that literally gave us the ability to have speech, which was a huge jump forward.
And also, what's the kind of thinking, creative thinking, where you're actually able to see a picture of a horse and realize that it's a horse? Abstract reasoning, this is critical to any kind of inventing or creating. Homo erectus, like I said, would drink water like an animal. Homo sapien would make a chair and sit in the chair and drink from a cup.
and before you can build the pyramids, you have to be able to make a blueprint. You have to have architecture. You cannot just say, oh, it'd be kind of cool to put a big pyramid shape over here. You have to have advanced mechanical and critical thinking to be able to even do that in the first place.
Right, and this happened way too fast.
You're exactly right. It was a long time. They started that all the way back.
They gave us our human identity? That our genes are Anunnaki or that an extraterrestrial instead of, you know,
they are supposed to have they're supposed to have taken Homo erectus and used their genetics and mixed their genetics in with ours to uplift us. That's supposedly. So we are all part Anunnaki. And if this is true, if this really did happen, then that's how the aliens are involved. We're all a little bit alien.
So we're alien, sort of.
A little bit.
Yes. In that line of thinking. And also, there was, so I was going to say, it's the long con, really, because they started that 300,000 years ago for me today to have anxiety. That's what happened. So, no, but there also is a little part of that, that if you were to, have you both heard or read the Book of Enoch, right?
Yes,
of course.
Okay. So, you know about the slave uprising and rebellion, and some think that we were made to replace that slave race.
Yes, and the Anunnaki were using their own people supposedly to mine gold. At the 300,000 years ago, they supposedly had a rebellion, and then the head Anunnaki, her name was Ninhursag. She was the medical officer for the
that was working the colony. With Enki,
and Enki was the main architect and builder for the Anunnaki. And the two of them worked together, supposedly. I mean, this is in their own writings, the Sumerian writings talk about how they had to kill one of the gods to infuse this man creature with a soul. And they bled the god out and transfused him with this creature that they were turning into a man. They call it the Adamu, so the Adam, right?
Yeah, and, pretty close, huh?
And so they talk about this whole procedure, and it sounds a little bit magical more than anything, but it seems like a scientific procedure they went through to turn Homo erectus Homo sapien.
Doing,
you know,
we're doing it right now with CRISPR technology.
We're
solving blindness. We're solving the riddles about like how to bring back extinct species. You know, there's talk about the mammoth. And
I can't wait. I want a mammoth.
But it's like we're tinkering around with it right now. And, you know, you think about some, you know, it's in our book. We talk about it at ad nauseum about this last 13,000 years and just what has happened. Like you know, you think about, you know, giving human beings another, like where we are currently, you give us 13,000 years without killing ourselves to play around with genetics and AI, just where we would be. We'd be, you know, leaps and bounds past where we are right now. I mean, it would be like Tinker Toys.
Right.
It would be just like Legos.
But how this relates to who are currently flying mm-hmm. the UFOs in our skies.
Yes, that's the difference.
What we think happened was that, we've been Homo sapiens sapien for 120,000 years at least. Some people say longer, but supposedly mainstream archaeology would have us believe that we sat around doing nothing for 107,000 years, not even inventing the house, and then 13,000 years ago, we just decided to get smart and get some gumption going and start making stuff, right?
We got tired of it.
We think this is ridiculous. You know, the human race, if we are an industrious, curious, creative, restless people. We're not going to sit around for 107,000 years stagnating, right? So we don't think that's what happened. We think that we became a fairly advanced race. And then 13,000 years ago, this advanced race, who are capable of spaceflight, they settled on the bases on Mars, settled bases on the moon, settled base on Phobos. We think that they were brought low by a comet that struck. We know for a fact that a comet struck 13,000 years ago.
Lake Superior.
That's scientific fact.
The Younger Dryas comet, it's called. At first, we thought it might be the Hiawatha asteroid impact was the culprit, but it turned out to be this other comet that hit Lake Superior. So I just wanted to let people know that if they're reading our book, swap out the word Hiawatha with the Younger Dryas comet, because that new information came out after we published.
Yeah, it's still Colonel Mustard with a knife, but he's not in the kitchen.
Totally understand.
But it would have caused worldwide tsunamis. And we believe this is the cause of all the flood myths, the 1,200 separate flood myths all over the world, pointing to a shared incident that we must have all had.
And the key factor in that is that every single one of them, the people had forewarning, foreknowledge of like probably a year or two in advance.
Right, enough to build an ark or dig underground cities.
Derinkuyu in Derinkuyu. Turkey.
I could just jump in right here, we have a wonderful question from our wonderful listeners.
Okay.
Chris Wilson has a question. Have you both ever heard of the Stargate Project?
No, I've heard of the movie, of course.
No, I have not heard of the Stargate Project per se, no.
Okay. So I wish I had more information about that one, but... No, but and please, everybody else who's on the comments or watching, please comment your questions. We'll ask them live on air, experts here, wonderful, wonderful experts. Going back to that, I got to tell you, we're so much different than everything else on this planet. It's not hard to see, right?
Our closest relative is the bonobo chimp, and although we share a lot of DNA, it's very similar DNA.
99%.
They're almost nothing like us. They can't stand upright. They can't speak. They can't run except on all fours. When they're frightened, they take to the trees. I mean, we're looking at animals here compared. We really don't have contemporaries on this planet unless you count the aliens.
Let me jump in real quick.
Like we do.
Leslie, so you think we are biologically engineered in the beginning? Was to be slaves. So since they're not using us anymore, what do you think they keep coming around for?
Well, we think that they stopped using us as slaves because we make poor slaves. The human race, we're just too willful. We're a willful bunch, And I think that they are engineering, instead of us now, they're engineering the grays. The grays are... we think they are a slave race being engineered by the Nordic aliens. Because the grays, whenever we hear abductee reports, they're always autonomous, emotionless, automatons.
Telepathic.
They're telepathic with us, which I found striking, I think they must have very similar brains to us in order to be telepathic with us.
They're very goal-driven. They never seem to be confused about what they're doing.
Right.
Whether it comes to the cow mutilations or, getting DNA off of, you know,
Caucasian people,
off of people in general.
Racist.
What do you think they're taking, doing that to the cows? What do you, what well, are they?
I think it's, you know, it's it's called means, opportunity, and motive. Okay. They have a means, they have an opportunity, they have a motive. I think that they have a need for genetic material.
In large quantities.
In large quantities.
And we surmise that 13,000 years ago, right before the comet would have hit, we think a large portion of the human population went underground to survive the impact. And that they are living there still to this day in cities under the surface of the earth, launching their UFOs from these places. We hear so many reports about UFOs coming up out of lakes and up out of oceans and up out of mountains and up
My
out of the
favorite
mesas
time.
And
volcanoes,
regions,
yes.
And volcanoes and Mount on the Shasta. Side of Mount Shasta, you know. So we think that they're because they're in these underground bases. Well, so 13,000 years ago, they go underground. They keep their technology and their knowledge, but then the surface gets struck by this comet and it shoves us, some poor surface schmucks, kills most of us, and shoves us back into the Stone mm-hmm. Age, essentially, technologically speaking. And we've had to spend the last 13,000 years crawling back out of the Stone Age. And so these people are us, essentially,
yes,
but they've mutated
cousins,
from us.
Really.
They've, to me, when I see a gray alien, I see a creature, I mean, in my mind's eye, in my imagination, I see a creature that is like a human that's been underground for 13,000 years. Their eyes are bigger and blacker. And
for more light.
And they're, yes. Right, and they're paler, and they have no hair because they don't need hair anymore. And so we think that the Nordic aliens, who are indistinguishable from human beings,
yeah,
I find that very important. The Nordic yes. aliens, I cannot stress this enough, are indistinguishable from human beings. They look yep. like Swedes.
Yeah.
And so I think that the Nordic aliens are really a branch of the Caucasian race, and that's why they are needing Caucasian DNA.
Well, your number's 90 some percent, you know, that the numbers don't lie there. You know,
yes, that was kind of shocking when we found that.
Yeah,
out.
I was surprised.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. And I'm surprised hearing you tell me to put a pin in Project Stargate for our question. That was a CIA led program that explored remote viewing and psychic ability in the 1980s.
Oh, no, that wasn't called Stargate. That was Stargazer, I believe.
Stargazer?
Wasn't it?
No, Stargate Project in 1978.
Was it the Stargate Project? Oh, okay. No, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, remote,
yes.
Remote viewing is an interesting thing in and of itself.
And we do know all about
sure.
that
program. Yeah, my mom and her mother and whatnot, her grandmother came over from Germany, and my mom grew up in England, and they practice automatic writing. In fact, my sister she and her husband are ghost hunters in Northern England yeah. right now. And they have
ghostly locations.
Yes. So it's one of these things where, you know, you let an entity come in and take over your consciousness for a brief period of time.
Yeah,
and they contact, you know, they basically contact, through writing, which I played around with that a little bit myself, but it was just too creepy for me. But I know my mother for a fact, when I was 9 years old, she picked me up from school and she was absolutely in tears. And I said, "Mommy, what's wrong?" She said, my mother just died. I said, "Well, grandma's in England. How do you know that?" This is in 69, so we barely had phones, right? I said, "Oh," I said, I was contacted, the spirit, old Glegley told me, he contacted me, and I wrote it down, and he told me that, you know, my mom had just died. So it was about 2 days later, we got a call from England and saying that, yeah, you know, she had died. And so I just accepted it. It was my yes. mom doing the thing that she did. And the same thing happened when her father died about 10 years later. And then a couple of years after that was Uncle Clifford. So it was just one of these things that we had different types of communication. It was just a normal thing.
But the automatic writing that you're talking about, we do talk about, his name was Pat Price, I believe.
Pat Price, wasn't yes, it? The detective.
He was a police officer
Los
in
Los Angeles.
Burbank police
in Burbank,
officer. Yes.
Burbank, California.
And he he was just very talented at this automatic writing. And he's the one that spotted the base, the alien military base slash military base at Mount Hayes that we believe exists. We think that not only are there a fair number of these underground bases all around the world and underground cities, we think there are also underground military bases that are half, you know, part alien staffed and part U.S. government staffed. The government formed an agreement with these beings, we believe, in 1953, I think it was, Eisenhower met with them, supposedly. And the ones he was supposed to have met with were the Nordic aliens. And supposedly, they made up a kind of a pact where they would share their technology with us and we would help keep their secret and continue to let them abduct the people that they needed. Not that we could have stopped them if we wanted to. And we think that that's that agreement is still in place today, and that our government, and only the highest echelons of the NSA, by the way, have this kind of clearance to know this, I believe. But I think that they're working in league with us. And, you know, we try and try and try for disclosure. We fight for it from the government. And then they'll give us little dribs and drabs, and then they'll lie to us again. Like the new report that came out was just
a week ago.
Believe me, we've been up there.
They're never going to admit everything.
Absolutely. And real quick for our commenter, Kaysen, welcome back. I'm glad you're back on. Project Looking Glass, I believe, unless I'm thinking differently, is the name of the Strategic Airborne Command Center, like to have a plane flying and be your mobile command center. I think that's what's referring to the AB NPC or something like that. I don't believe that was the remote viewing one, so I just wanted to answer that real quick. Actually, it's funny you say that, because with Jenny and myself, we often speculated that grays aren't biologic. You know, they are a drone, a robot, whatever you want to call it, some sort of manufactured creature. And
we do feel that for sure, that they are biologically manipulated, or you know, they're serving a purpose, and which, you know, like we said, you know, the human beings don't make great slaves. So they have been manipulated themselves, as far as we can tell.
And once we found out about that it's 95% Caucasian phenomenon, we had to rethink, like, okay, well, why do they need so much Caucasian DNA? And what kept coming up to me was that they are Caucasians. You know, a Caucasian split off hybrid race from ourselves would have all kinds of use for DNA from Caucasian people. But distant, you know, aliens from distant star systems, what on earth would they have any use for so much, you know, genetic material from Caucasian people? And cows, we think that when they went underground, it's possible
Caucasian cows
took herds of cattle with them.
Undomesticated animals.
Undomesticated animals. Most of the cattle mutilations, or animal mutilations, I should say, are domesticated animals. Not entirely. There are some exceptions, but for the most part, it's goats, sheep, horses, and cattle. And in the 70s, the ranchers approached the government about doing a study, because they were losing so many cattle to this bizarre phenomenon, where, like you said, they're actually cauterizing the wounds as they're making the cuts. And when they cut the eye out, it's in a perfect cauterized circle. Yeah. So government did this big study and came back with that it was predators. Sure.
predators. Sometimes you just got to laugh at their answer. You
know, and I know they really test our intelligence a lot of times.
I feel like I'm being gaslighted by it.
I think it works on a lot of people. That's why they do it.
You know, that one thing I found out recently, which I couldn't believe, but it's true, that 35 million Americans still think that the Earth is flat. 10% of Americans still believe that the Earth is flat, and 12% still think that the moon landing was faked. So that's a big percentage of the population that they don't know any better. Don't believe anything.
Well, I kind of think the moon landing was fake.
Okay.
And sometimes I think the earth is flat.
No.
Not flat, but a spear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Circularly challenged. How about that?
Not to, I'm trying to break up the little thing here, but when we were talking about, like, we made an agreement, our government made an agreement with these entities, yes. Going back to Truman and Valiant Thor, do you think that is fake too? Valiant Thor, do you think,
no,
what about
that's another thing that actually supports our theories. Because this guy, Valiant Thor, lands in the Virginia field in a spaceship and asks to be taken to their leaders, you know.
Yeah, buddy.
And guess what he is? He's a white Caucasian man. He's a red-haired white man who claims to be coming from Venus. And now we know nothing comes from Venus. Nothing but, you know, gas.
Venus women are from Venus, men are from Mars.
It took about another 10 years for the Russians to figure that out.
Yeah, so, but at the time, you know, he lands in this, you know, field and says that he's an alien from the planet Venus and here to help us, and stayed at the Pentagon for 3 years. And see, once again, it's, first of all, it's not an alien, it's a man. Mm-hmm. And we also based it a lot on the premise that Admiral Byrd in his diary talks about meeting these people that were under the ice sheet of Antarctica.
Yeah, he believed that the earth was flat.
Yeah.
Because he thinks, why at the edge? Why is there there's like some kind of treaty or something, you can't go there. So what is over there that kind of makes it a little suspicious? And maybe that's why a lot of the flat earth are thinking.
Oh, they stoked the flames. Don't get me wrong. They definitely
an enormous no fly zone in the middle of Antarctica.
Why?
Who cares if you fly over the Antarctica, right? It's just this ice as far as
there's something over there.
In fact, one time Linda Moulton Howe interviewed a guy who said they were they violated the no-fly zone because of a medical emergency.
Yes.
And as they were flying over this area, they weren't supposed to be flying over. He saw an enormous hole in the ice that had a
hollow earth theory
clamp going into it, you know.
And, I like that theory.
Yeah, we don't believe in the hollow earth, by the way.
The hollow earth theory, I mean, yes, we think there's a lot of underground cities, but no, we don't believe the earth is hollow with a sun in the middle of it and that people are living on the inside of the earth's crust upside down. You know, that's the hollow earth theory. And that's, you know, we don't subscribe to that at all. But we do think that they are, that Admiral Byrd really did meet with these people. And they call us, they sure enough, guess what they look like? Tall, Caucasian, Swedish-looking men.
With slightly Germanic accents.
With slightly Germanic accents.
They refer to us as barbarians. And,
he said, normally we don't have anything to do with you people and your barbaric wars up there on the surface.
Those are fighting words from a blonde-haired, blue-eyed person.
But so they think of us as barbarians and that mostly don't want to have anything to do with us. But what happened to change all that was our discovering nuclear weapons, our ability to break the atom.
Yeah.
And they immediately became very frightened of that. They started following our jets with their Foo Fighters. There's to this day, they're dogging our military every single time we go out on maneuvers. That was brought up in last summer, the hearings, the congressional hearings. The pilots said that our military is being followed by these tic tacs and these orbs every single time we go out on maneuvers. I didn't know it was every single time, so that was news to us. The fact that we have crashed ships and dead alien bodies and possibly some live ones. That really wasn't news to us because that's been in the ufology circles, been circling for many, many years. Yeah. But I didn't know that they were following us every single time we go out. And now I know why. I mean, we understand why now. They're terrified that we're going to start World War III and destroy the planet and kill ourselves off, but also guess what? Kill them off. I think that's further proof that
it's shared space. I can understand that.
Yeah, they've got skin in the game. So
yes, their skin in the game is their motivation, and you know, it's just basically necessity. They like where they live, and
you know, they don't want to blow it up.
If anything, mm-hmm. human beings are very adaptable. So if you take a couple of generations of human beings living inside the earth, like in big cities, you know, within a couple of generations, all of a sudden the surface is going to appear like maybe like a dangerous place.
Yeah.
Because all you're used to is growing up in a geothermal temperature controlled environment. That is what your home is.
Yeah. Okay? It's like they created a whole civilization of agoraphobes. You know, none of them want to come back onto the surface, I think.
Now, the thing with the moon, we don't know completely about what's going on with the moon. If you ever read Jim Mars' stuff, The Alien Agenda, he used to work with NASA. And it is true about their, you know, about the moon ringing when they, you know, they crash objects into the moon.
Yeah.
It literally rings like a gong. And
right.
That's really fascinating in and of itself. I mean, what would cause that? And also, too, how homogeneous the craters are, you know, on the moon too.
Yeah, they're all the same depth. The oceans show they're all concaved out, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's a rebound reaction.
Now, what I was saying before, how there was 107,000 years of us before the Younger Dryas comet hit, where we're as just as intelligent as we are now, what were we doing? That's it, 107,000 years. Maybe we conquered the moon, hollowed it out, made it into and it's got a city, a hollowed out city inside the moon. We certainly could have been capable of that. Just add 85,000 years to our current existence. That's how far they had. That's 100.
I love all of that theory at the end. What a great way to end on. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. Thank you. You guys have answered our questions. I'll be sure personally to keep in touch with you. And if you ever think of a second book, let me know, and we'll have you back on to promote that one. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. You guys have a great night.
Absolutely.
Wow, that was interesting.
That was. They're adorable. I loved talking to both of them. So I loved how we got into ancient human theory, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Absolutely. And like I said before, I'll say it again. We're just so much different from everything over here. It's hard not to listen to a theory like that.
Most definitely. So
anyway, we have other stuff to get into. Let's go.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you think of that? I'm going to play a couple TikToks and you want me to tell what you think is going on? If I can find which one I'm in. Is that it? Okay.
Not a single person on this earth that has ever seen an event like we are going to see on April 8th of 2024. This is the path that it will take, and these are the times that you'll be able to see it. Totality is going to last about 4 minutes and 35 seconds in some places. Now, compared to the total solar eclipse that we had in 2017, that one lasted about 2 minutes and 43 seconds in some areas, so we're doubling that time this year. That's why it's something that no one has ever seen before. It's going to last for a long time compared to other total solar eclipses. The last one that was even close to this happened back in the 1800s. In a month, we are going to have two broods of cicadas come up from under the ground. Now, these two broods have not converged in over 100 years.
Yeah.
And look at this map. See the light
blue where they all are lining
the
up.
Dark brown mm-hmm. right there converging in Illinois. Yeah, that's the same.
Do you see how the X is?
As well, Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
So yeah, no one on earth has ever seen an event like coming next month. We are going to have a total solar eclipse that lasts damn near 5 minutes in some areas.
That's crazy.
And then we're going to have millions of cicadas that have been underground for either 13 or 18 years, all coming up at the same time. That's and crazy. They have not done that in over 200
teenagers.
Years. So if you are over 200 years old, DM me.
There's another one. Some of them get really, let me see if I can play. Let me get this one on here.
All throughout history, right? We've been afraid of an eclipse. You know, we've been afraid of something that is normal at one point. That's not normal at another point.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, you look outside, it's normal for it to be dark. But if it's at 2 o'clock, like it said in the afternoon.
Yeah. But no. Who's all going to be able to see this? That's what I want to know. Like, is it just,
well, you are going to have a better view than I will.
You think?
I know. So, you are going to be right near 100% of it. That line was 100%. You should be in the high 90s because for me over some website I saw, weather.gov, the website I saw, when it would be for me would be like 89% of the eclipse. So you have, and you're closer to it by 400 miles. I imagine you're much higher than I am.
They're going to close the schools. No, are they why are they calling here. An emergency? I'm going to say why, wherever it's going, why are they closing the schools? Is it because they're scared of so many people or is there something else?
Well, I can see if they're closing the schools for a safety issue if you are letting school out around that time. Just for, buses, things like that, parents, all that kind of stuff. But you're right. It's 5 minutes. It's not even an hour, right? Where that would make much more sense, right? So if it's for 5 minutes, maybe they want kids to see it. Or maybe there's something else at play here. And we're always the kind of there's something else at play lookers. Why? Don't know.
Well, I was doing some research and apparently it's going through a town called Nirvana.
Oh, heaven backwards, right?
Yeah, but it's there's not just one town like that. There's like a whole bunch of them. I mean, I even asked ChatGPT and he even told me, and he said it's because something with the book of Jonah and something.
It is like, the Bible Belt. So to have religious names in that area, multiple ones, that's not
just normal words hidden.
Look, they were named that before this eclipse. They'll be named it after the eclipse. It's a very conservative area. I couldn't absolutely see that. I mean, look where it's going across. But
you can see it through. It's making an X. You can see it on the West Coast, right?
That's what's weird is it's an X.
Yeah.
If you look at those angles, it's almost a perfect X, right? Yeah. They're close to 90 degrees on all sides.
What's in the center of the X?
Yeah. What town would that be? I would like to know that.
You should ask ChatGPT, see what he has to say.
That guy in the computer, he knows everything, man.
He's my friend.
Yeah. If you're doing anything with this, he better be your friend. You better get close with that man in the computer.
Well, you don't know, because maybe they'll take over the world someday.
I heard an interesting theory about that.
Okay, tell me.
AI allows us to get smarter to make better AI. And it's this cycle that we're symbiotic with machinery, and we always have been. And then we get to a point where we can no longer coexist. There's a solar flare, which eliminates all technology. And then we come back out from underground caves, start in the Stone Age, just like she said, and start over again. And we try it again. I know.
Well,
if AI can keep us living longer and make our jobs easier so we can get smarter and make it better, how can you not call it a...
Well, don't you think it's making us a lot lazier, too? I mean, come on. I think so. It depends on what you... I like to be as smart as I can, and I like to double check with...
Yeah, absolutely.
Of what's going on, like even asking it a question about the eclipse. I don't know. But then there's other news too. What do you think about the Kate Middleton thing? The conspiracy.
Oh, so yes, what we hit on earlier. I think, and this is just me, I think she had either a breakdown or a attempt
suicide
on her own life. Yes. Some of the things that we have to read between the lines because you're never going to get the story. But real quick, the hiding, the away, Charles is dying, she's married to the next king. She has 3 kids. There's a lot on her plate for any person, let alone adding all those external factors. They never would want to be blemished with what you know, something bad like that being public. So they shoved her away in some outpatient mental health, some of the best doctors in the world helping her to get, you know, right, and medication. And, you know, medication for mental health takes 4, 3, 4, 5 weeks for it to start to kick into your system.
Yeah, really.
So, you know, the smoke and fire stuff, that's my guess.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, I think she had a breakdown. But there's all this speculation that he cheated on her with her friend. Well, that would put you over the edge if that's true. And she supposedly had a baby. She had a baby. Again, and she decided to keep it.
Ooh. I mean, what kind of Game of Thrones stuff are we talking about? Illegitimate sons of the king and all of that. What is that's wild. But, you know, they could be hand in hand. Multiple things. I'll say multiple things can be true with this.
And then the one conspiracy was that she was wearing this when she had her baby, the last baby, that she was wearing the same dress as Rosemary Baby wore. The
Good movie.
What was her name?
Son of Yeah, the son of Satan type of deal.
Yeah, and why was she wearing the same dress? And that's a true, that wasn't like a Photoshop one, unless it was and we didn't know about it, because that was a while ago.
See, I think that sounds real because that's so obscure that it might go over some people's heads.
Yeah, it was kind of, she was like sending a warning. What is she's talking about, Kasm's talking about. Yeah, we were talking about that last, was it a couple weeks? Was it a
couple
last
weeks
week?
Ago. Yeah, it will put you out, man. It will put you on your ass. I had a prescription. I'll tell you this. This is my Xanax story here. I had a prescription a couple years ago. I took one and fell asleep for 8 hours. I broke one in half, and almost to the dot, I fell asleep for 4 hours. Oh, and I never went back. I said, how is this helping anybody?
No. Well, you know, my trilogy.
They will push that down your throat. You know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I take it every once in a while to go to the dentist, but my character in my trilogy From the Sky, the main character is addicted. She was 18 years old and she was addicted to Xanax.
It's very poignant because it's a big thing with younger kids now.
Yeah, and if you want to check it out, it's on Amazon.
Yes, I love the plug, From the Sky. Go read it. It's a
yeah,
wonderful
go
book.
Read it. I'm having I'm having a new relaunch.
Whoever she is, she's a fantastic author.
We both are.
Thank you.
Your book's not out yet.
No.
Okay, it's gone.
I'm just going to have one word on 200 pages. That's it.
It's a pain. But yeah, it was a great show tonight. Next week, I don't know who we have on the books, but I think we have a paranormal guy coming on this show next week. And he sent me an email. And for the life of me, I don't have it in front of me, and so I can't really say who it is, but it should be interesting. So yeah, we're going to leave it at that, my dear. I have to pull up my intro because I don't know. I think we had a troll in here in the studio playing with cameras today. So
yeah, I don't know who that was.
You know what happened to me before? Sean's going to kill me because I'm going over his time. I went into to schedule the live one night, and I end up going in some. The show. I got hell from it from the station manager. It was an accident.
Not that again.
It happens. It happens. Okay.
Well, we love our guests. Kasm, thank you so much, Cindy, as well. Tune in next week. We'll have a wonderful guest.
And we'll see you then.